I'm Jim Schultz, and this is From Theory to Practice. Welcome to the show today. Welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of what it is that we are trying to do. Guys, welcome to the most important Amazon earnings announcement of our lifetimes that's coming on down the chutes right after the close today. Man, I thought we were going to be able to get away with this one. I thought we were going to be able to kind of sleepwalk through the day. And then the next thing you know, you got S&P's down 50, got the risk-free asset down 2, honeys. And something ain't right. So let's go in here. Let's take a look at what's going on. All right. So a little bit of strength on the way back here. You got EMEA S&P's down 37 now. So they were down a few titches more than this just a couple of seconds ago. We're going to investigate here for the next couple of minutes. EMEA S&P's down 38. Risk-free asset, also known as the NASDAQ futures, extremely high-risk instrument, down 165. Got the boomers down 324. Got the Russell 2000 futures index down 27. You got bonds down 15. You got notes down 11. You got oil down 70 cents. You got gold just getting absolutely clobbered, down 50 points today. So lots of red on the screen. I don't know who spoke this morning. I think it was that Canadian retail sales sentiment print that gets us. Man, it gets us every Tuesday at 8:38. So that guy came out, and then the market just sunk right after that, but lots of red on the screen. It was even worse just a little while ago, if I'm not mistaken. If we go into EMEA S&P's, and oh, by the way, if you have a question for me, drop it in the chat box and let me know, how are you going to play the most important Amazon earnings announcement of our lifetimes? Like, how are you going to play that guy tonight? I'm going to give you guys the winning trade. Like, if you do the exact opposite of what I'm going to do in the next 10 minutes, man, you have a lock, stock, and barrel winner ready to go for you. But let me know what you're going to do, even independent of what I might do. So even the S&Ps, if I bring up my charts here, if we take a look at, let's go like 2-minute chart, 3-minute chart. Yeah, let's go 2-minute chart. Let's look at like a 1-day. Errol Coleman settings. Yeah, man, we are down to, what's the low on that? So this was maybe an hour ago. Yeah, it was 50.91. So yeah, about an hour ago, less than an hour ago, we hit the low of the day. And that may be the low of the day. It may not be the low of the day. You know, only the algorithms know the answer to that question. But the low was 50.91. And so that was, we're about 15 points off the low in the EMEA S&Ps. NQ, the risk-free asset. Some people think T-bills are risk-free, but they might be. But man, this NASDAQ instrument is mostly risk-free most of the time. If you define risk-free as being able to have, you know, a 200-point down day here or there, or a lot of the time. So the low point for NQ today was 17, looks like 675. So about 50 or 60 points lower than where we are now. So a little bit of strength, a little bit of a rally here off of the bottom. And then of course you've got the Dow, you've got the boomers. I think they're near the lows. No, they were a lot lower earlier too. So right around that same kind of 12:45 to 1 o'clock window. So that's when the lunchtime algorithm kicks in. So the low was 38.121. So 100 points basically on the Dow. And then the Russell, I think, was maybe 5 or 6 points lower at one point. So the low on the Russell was about 92. So it's at 98 right now. So yeah, I mean, it's whatever. And so, all right. So lots of weakness across the board as the market gets ready for, again, it is a trifecta, right? It is a triage of macro events, right? Amazon earnings, macro event. Uncle Jay, macro event. And then, of course, Apple earnings on Thursday. Couldn't be more macro than Apple earnings. Apple revenues, Apple net income, Apple Vision Pro sales. I don't know that they've had any yet, but we'll get to learn if they've, you know, come off of zero on the Apple Vision Pro sales. We'll figure that out Thursday. So that's very important. Obviously, the whole global economy is hinged on that number, the Apple Vision Pro goggle sales. We are going to learn more on Thursday. So don't miss that. So that's today, that's tomorrow, and that's Thursday. So, all right. So what I want to do here today is we're going to do two things. So number one, I want to do an Amazon earnings trade, of course, because that's coming on down the chutes after the bell. And it's always chaotic. It's always just an absolute circus after the bell. And I think, let me know, double check me here in the chat box. Let me know and let all of us know. I think Amazon reports like right after the bell. If I'm not mistaken, they don't pull any funny business like Apple makes us wait to 4:30 and like, you know, some other companies make us wait to like 4:15 or whatever. No, Amazon, like Bezos, man, it is just a well-oiled machine over there at the Amazon warehouse. Like, he's got the robots getting all of our packages ready, but then he's got a whole separate slew of robots that have the earnings numbers ready to go too. Those guys come out at like 4:01 or 402, like Johnny on the spot. They're ready to go so we can trade and we can light a whole bunch of stacks of cash on fire. So that's going to happen right after the bell here today, which is going to be fun. It's going to be a pretty chaotic hour with Amazon, with the NASDAQ futures. Like, it's all going to be there kind of ready for you and me from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock today. So that's going to be today. And then, of course, we have FOMC tomorrow and then Apple on Thursday. Well, I want to make sure that we do an Amazon earnings trade here together. So we're going to do that in the next couple of minutes. And then I do, because on Wednesdays, I'm not with you all. On Wednesdays, I'm with Errol for today's assignment at 2:45. So you guys get to enjoy Tom and Dylan talk about a whole bunch of rigmarole that doesn't really matter at 2 o'clock, from 2 o'clock to 2:45. And so while the Fed meeting is going on, like while the numbers are being released and Uncle Jay is preparing for his press conference and then even starting his press conference, you guys get to listen to Tom and Dylan pontificate about a whole bunch of nonsense that's not really going to help anybody. But that's from 2 o'clock to 2:45 tomorrow for Truth or Skepticism. Do not miss that. But there's no opportunity for me to trade with you all in the From Theory to Practice portfolio. So we're going to do that here today. We are going to do a little one DTE SPX trade that I'm feeling pretty good about, man. I got to be honest. Feeling pretty good about this one. So, all right, so let's go into Amazon first. So AMZN. All right, and again, if you guys have questions, comments, stories, jokes, drop them in the chat box. Drop them in now. It definitely increases the delta that I will get to. So Amazon is pretty much unchanged on the day. That makes sense going into earnings tonight. You've got Amazon down like 90 cents, so really kind of an unched type of day for Amazon. As the market waits for, you know, what are the revenues, what are the, you know, the income numbers and the guidance and all of the, you know, the qualitative commentary surrounding all of those hard numbers. So what I want to do, and I know what you guys are thinking, and why wouldn't you be thinking this? You should be thinking this. You're thinking he's going to do an expected move butterfly, and that would be a really good thought. That would be a very, very high probability thought on your end most of the time. But actually, it's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do an expected move butterfly for Amazon for two reasons. Number one, I don't love Tuesday expected move butterflies. Now, we did cash one, I think it was just last week in Tesla, that worked out quite well. But I really don't like it because Wednesday or Thursday would be much, much better. And again, since I'm with Errol on Wednesdays, I'm not really going to do too much on Wednesdays because I try to do all of my trading if I can on the show. So if you guys follow on a regular basis, there are no broken links in the chain. You can easily follow along with what's going on, you know, trade entry, trade exit, and all the things in between. So Thursdays are the usual days when I do my expected move butterflies. That's when we really like to kind of get those guys, you know, fired up and ready to go. So I'm not going to do that tonight for Amazon. I almost definitely will be doing that on Thursday for Apple. So you're not going to want to miss that show. But I still wanted to do something for Amazon since this is, I mean, the whole market, guys, the whole market is hinging on this number tonight. Like, again, I thought the NASDAQ was going to be going strong into the number, but it's not. The NASDAQ is looking quite weak. The risk-free asset is not doing what risk-free assets are supposed to do. And so with the NASDAQ down almost 200s now, it's like, man, we need this Amazon number. They better be cooking them books up with some coconut oil and to kind of save us all. So let's go in here. Let's go into Amazon. I'm not going to go into the front week where I would normally go to a butterfly. I'm going to go with, man, this feels like, I mean, what is this, 1996? Like, what are we doing here? Like, are we not in the modern age of, you know, podcasts and augmented reality and Apple Vision Pro goggles? But no, we're going to go into the 52-day cycle. 52-day cycle for earnings. We're doing leap options today, guys. 52-day cycle. And I'm just going to sell strangle, man. I'm just going to come out with the straightforward, plain vanilla, Betty Crocker short strangle for Amazon earnings. That's not even really for Amazon earnings because it's a 52-day to go, 52 days to expiration, 52 days in the cycle trade. That's what I was looking for. I think I nailed it a couple of times there, but it's a pretty long, you know, pretty normal trade, really. This is what I would do if there wasn't any earnings. This is what I would do if we didn't have the catalyst of the most important tech earnings of our lifetimes coming on down the chutes after the bell today. And so it feels a little, I mean, it's a little anticlimactic. I have to be honest. Like, if I was on your end of the lens today, I'd be like, man, I was really kind of getting all worked up for this. I'm not really sure why I was getting all worked up for a Dr. Jim show. That's obviously a poor maneuver on my part. But I was very much looking forward to this Amazon earnings trade. And now he lets me down with just kind of a run-of-the-mill, kind of, you know, watching paint dry, short strangle in Amazon. And, you know, my apologies. My apologies. But when I look at this trade, I just don't love the expected move butterfly because it's a Tuesday. Not this Tuesday, at least. Now, next Tuesday, I may change my mind. Next Tuesday, we may be singing a different tune. And so you'll have to check out the show at that time to see what we're going to do then. But here, I think this is what we're going to do, man. I think we're just going to keep it really simple, keep it buttoned up. We go right to the expected move, maybe just to, I don't know, maybe just a titch outside the expected move. We're selling like a 160 put. That's right outside the expected move on the downside. There's your 18 delta right there. Then we go right outside the expected move on the upside. So there's a little bit of skew. You know, you've got the deltas are a little bit higher or right outside of the expected move on the call side. But maybe we sell, you know, just to balance it out a little bit. Maybe we sell a 205, 19 delta. I mean, look at this, man. I mean, is there any way this is not going to work? I mean, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way to make this a losing trade. But when I look at this on the front end, on trade entry, man, that's looking pretty good. You've got about a $5 credit, $4.96. You've got a pop of 71. You've got a P50 of 93. So we can round that up to 100 for our mental records. And then you have a beta of $12 a day. You have max profit of 496. And of course, you have max loss of negative infinity, which is certainly going to shake up some skivvies out there. But remember, that would only happen if Amazon printed infinity. So in order for us to lose negative infinity, Amazon would have to print positive infinity, which I'm pretty sure that's going to go 0 for 2. I really don't see either one of those scenarios occurring, at least not in the next 12 to 24 hours. Now, next week, I mean, all bets are off. I mean, who knows what could happen next week? But for the really near-term horizon, I feel pretty good that that's not going to happen. And so buying power, $1,800, that's like, you know, that's 6% of the account or thereabouts. Give or take. And so I like it. I like everything about this trade. You know, sometimes, I know I kind of joked about it a couple of minutes ago, but in all seriousness, you can use the earnings date just as a catalyst into a regular trade if you want to. You don't have to go into the front week. You don't have to try to be a hero. You don't have to kind of tap into your inner, you know, Errol Coleman. Like, you can just take a more, you know, conservative approach, take a bit more of a, you know, methodical approach, and, you know, choose a 45 days to go cycle, a 50 days to go cycle, a 40 days to go cycle, and just use the earnings date as a bit of a kickstarter into a more of a regular trade. And that's kind of what we're doing here. And I feel pretty good about it. Like, I think that, you know, it's going to take a gargantuan move from Amazon tonight to really, really hurt us. And so that almost guarantees we're going to have a gargantuan move from Amazon tonight. But I feel good about this, you know, kind of ex ante, which everything feels good ex ante. You know, the only question is, how do you feel ex post? That's what really matters at the end of the day. So, all right, so let's go ahead. I'm going to clear this all away. I want to get this guy on because there's one other stack of cash that I'd like to get just a little bit of a flame on before we end the show or get to y'all's questions and then, of course, even end the show today. All right, so fill that 496. All right, so that's Amazon earnings for tonight. All right, so now, again, we have FOMC tomorrow. So tomorrow it's 2 o'clock. The number comes out. And then 2:30, you know, Powell comes out for his press conference. And so both events are kind of like independent events. They're obviously very closely linked. But, you know, if you watch, if you've ever traded one of these events, I mean, you obviously get the rush of volatility, just an absolute influx of lots of price movement right at 2 o'clock. Lots of up, lots of down, lots of back and forth. And, of course, we all know, if we've traded this before, you know, the first seven moves are just, they're fake out moves. Like, do not trust the first seven moves. I wouldn't even trust the first 11 moves if you want to play it safe. It's that 12th move that you can really count on tomorrow at 2 o'clock. But then you kind of have to reset. You kind of have to shuffle the deck and start all over at 2:30. Because when he comes out for his press conference, now it's like, all right, how quickly is he walking? You know, is he carrying papers? Does he have them in a briefcase? What color is his tie? Like, all of these things you didn't know at 2 o'clock. Now you have all this very important information that you have to digest if you're the market at 2:30. Then there's Q&A. There's back and forth. Like, all right, you know, that's what he said, but how did he really say it? Like, that's what he said on paper, but how did he sound? Did he sound upbeat? Did he sound a bit melancholy? Like, you kind of have to figure all those things out in the moment too. So that's going to happen at 2:30. But all right, let's go in here. So I'm going to go to SPX. I like SPX because it's cash settled, so I don't have to worry about assignments. I like SPX because it's very, very liquid. You know, going to be more liquid than probably even like ES options. I think ES or MES options could be okay. ES options could be okay. MES options, not nearly going to be as liquid as SPX. So if you're going to do something in one of the major indexes in like a zero DTE or a one DTE, SPX is going to be a really, really good choice. You could also do like XSP if you want something that's, you know, going to be priced a little smaller, kind of like a, you know, you can see it tells you right there. This is a mini SPX, right? So this is just 1/10 of SPX. So for those of you that might be dealing with, you know, smaller accounts, like maybe 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, something like that, it's going to be easier for you to size an XSP as opposed to an SPX. I'm going to choose SPX just because we have a little bit more capital. So it's easier for us to kind of stretch that capital over a broader horizon of losses. So SPX, if I go into SPX here, you know, when I look at this, now I'm just going to do a 1 day. So this is going to expire tomorrow. Now, again, just a quick little note on that. I do try to trade on the show almost exclusively, but with these expected move butterflies, which of course is what I'm going to do for this trade, with these expected move butterflies, I have to strike while the iron is hot. I want to close it on air with you all, but it's really difficult for me to do even when I have the show every day. And now that Wednesdays are a bit of a wild card with truth or skepticism, and then today's assignment with Errol, it's like, well, I'm going to be closing this trade. Unless, of course, you know, the market, we're going to play it to the downside. If the market rallies significantly and it's all out of the money, then I won't have to do anything. I can just let it sit and go out to pasture. But assuming we have to do something, which, I mean, let's go into this with a little bit of optimism. Assuming we have to close this trade and manage this winter, I'm obviously going to be doing that at some point tomorrow. And then I will fill you guys back in on Thursday when we are back together for Apple earnings and from theory to practice. Like normal. So let's go ahead. What are we looking at here? I kind of think, you know, guys, I think I want to go, I want to play this thing to the downside. I also want to go fairly wide. And so I want to have a lot of room to work with on this butterfly to the downside. So we have a nice wide net. So if there's any type of movement lower, we should be in a pretty good spot. Like I want to be able to capture any type of movement lower coming off of the announcement or announcements, 2 o'clock and then 2:30 tomorrow. So I don't anticipate that I'm going to be able to manage this guy early tomorrow morning or early in the day. This is probably going to be a late in the day type of situation, which can be a little bit sticky because the markets are going to be moving so quickly and so fast that, you know, I'll have to strike while the iron is hot. Like I'll have to be, you know, kind of at the ready and watching things if the market does move down into our butterfly net here. So I think what we're going to do is, what did I write down? I wrote it down. Amelia wrote it down for us. And if you're brand new to the show, Amelia is my trading assistant. She is our intern for the show. She does almost all of the trading that we do. So all the trades and like strike selections and like, you know, like option analysis, like all that kind of stuff. She does all of that stuff for me. I just can't do it. I'm only one man. I can't do all this myself. And so I have hired Amelia May. She is our assistant, our intern. She is also my 4-year-old daughter, and she has a better win rate than I do. And so this is a treat for us to be able to follow her trade here today. She wants to do. So I think the market's moved lower than when she put this on because she wanted to do 50-70. So going at the money, which, man, that's a power move. 50-70, 50-40, 50-10. And then, of course, you double up on the 50-40. Yeah, we're going to adjust these strikes a little bit because when she put these strikes together and put this analysis together, the market was higher, but the market obviously has been falling today. So I don't know when she did this, like a couple of days ago, earlier today. Like she needs to be a bit more timely with her analysis. So the thing about this that I don't like is the fact that we're not quite at the expected move. So this would be sandbagging the expected move on the downside, which is fine. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. This could be the perfect trade. I have no idea. Right. But I typically like to get closer to the expected move for two reasons. Number one, if there is a direction to move on one side of the market, the expected move kind of gives you some indication of what the magnitude of that move might look like. Of course, there's no guarantee, like nothing is absolutely set in stone. The market's a living and breathing thing and nobody knows what's going to happen. But a lot of times when you have a directional move, that expected move and the edges of that expected move are really, really a nice reference point. So I typically like to cluster around that a bit more closely than what we have right here. The expected move for those of you that can't see the screen is all the way down to, looks like about 50.27, whereas my short strike on this current iteration of the butterfly is 50.40. And so that's okay, that's all right. But the cost of this is $5, which, you know, I'm not opposed to lighting a fairly thick stack of cash on fire, which is what we're gonna be doing here in a couple of minutes. I'd still like to lessen the thickness of said stack of cash, even if just a titch or two. And so I think let's move the strikes down. Let's move a little further away from where we are now. That should reduce the debit paid. And then we'll get to y'all's questions because we're right at about halfway through the show. So I want to try to get to you all. So I'm going to go to 50-30. I'm going to do 50-60, 50-30, and then 5,000. that nice round number to hopefully act as a little bit of support if we bounce all the way down there. That's going to be a debit of 465 to 470. It looks like it's bouncing around as we speak. And so the thing I love about this trade is obviously the maximum profit. In fact, guys, I love this trade so much, I'm going to show this to y'all in the curve view. That's right. I didn't stutter. The curve view. So take a look at this. It's a thing of beauty. Look at that. Let me see if I can zoom in on this. I mean, look at that. Look at that profit tent. Look at that profit tent. It's huge. Like, how can we not land in there somewhere? I mean, sure, there's a whole bunch of area, you know, above it and a whole bunch of area below it that's going to absolutely crush us. But man, look at this. Look at this tent. I mean, if we get somewhere around 50, 30, right? Like, this thing is going to be an absolute just, it's going to be a party. Like, it's going to be a celebration. And so this is great. We obviously have equal risk on both sides of the market. And so if the market, you know, if we don't land around 50, 30, then we're going to be out this $4.70 that we're going to pay for it. So that's about 1.5% of the account. And so, you know, from a sizing standpoint, that's fine. Typically, this is probably a little bit on the high end for what I typically do for an expected move butterfly, but it's still within a reason. I probably am somewhere between 0.5% up to 1.5%. I'd say this is about the upper bound. I don't typically risk like 2-3% on expected move butterflies. That's a little bit too rich for my liking, because these are difficult trades. Like, they really are. I mean, I know that I'm joking about it looking good, and it does look good. Like, it does give us a nice wide profit zone. Like, without question. But they're hard trades, honestly, to be able to, you know, make a ton of money on consistently, because you have to get the direction of move correct, which is pretty difficult in a market that's quite random and quite unpredictable. But you also have to get the magnitude of the direction of move correct, which, again, the expected move gives us a nice reference point. But, I mean, how many times do moves come inside the expected move? A lot of the time. I mean, in fact, that's actually what we make our money on when it comes to being premium sellers most of the time. We're actually banking on the movement in the market coming in less than what the market is pricing in by way of the expected move, kind of copper strip there in the center. So it's not going to be easy. You know, it's going to be difficult. But the nice thing about these is if you do get the perfect price move and you do get a little bit of cooperation by the market, then it can be really nice, because you can get, you know, really, really nice payoffs. We had a nice payoff in Tesla last week, and that was on a Tuesday expected move butterfly with a Friday expiration. We had a nice payoff on Wednesday morning. I think we made like 1.25 or 1.5x of the debit that we paid. And that was really, really nice, because we got the perfect opening price on Tesla. If tomorrow, now again, here's what else. This is amazing. I want to get to y'all's questions, but I have to comment on this. This is the perfect time to do an expected move butterfly, because not only is this a one-day trade with expiration tomorrow, but as I alluded to a few minutes ago, this trade is not going to be taken off in the morning. It's almost certainly not going to happen. And the reason why I say that is because when the market, you know, opens up, most likely it's not going to be doing too much in anticipation of the Fed number at 2 and the Fed, you know, press conference at 2:30. And so the great thing about this is yes, we're casting a very wide net. Yes, there's a reasonable likelihood that none of this is going to work. But if it does work, we are going to be at the very end of the expiration cycle. Not like days away, not even like hours away. We could be minutes away from expiration, which is perfect, because that means if you get the right price move, there'll be no extrinsic value left in the options, which is exactly what you want, right? That's what you want almost all the time as a premium seller. That's also what you want as an expected move butterfly buyer. And so that's why when you buy an expected move butterfly on a Monday or a Tuesday of expiration week, the following morning, you get the perfect move, you're still not showing a really, really high profit. And oftentimes it's surprising. Like, why am I not making more money? It's exactly pinned to my short strike. Reason why is because you need all of the extrinsic value that's sitting on that short strike to bleed off of those options. Well, that's not going to happen until expiration. Well, tomorrow, like the actual moment of expiration. Well, tomorrow, you know, with Powell at 2 and then, or the number at 2 and then Powell at 2:30, it's like, man, if we do get this move, we might really truly wake up on third base on the other side of the press conference. So I'm kind of excited. I hope this works, just so that, you know, it works. And then also I think it'll be an interesting little post-game analysis that we can talk through on Thursday. So let me go ahead and let's see here. Let's push this guy out. 475. That's fine. Let's see if we get filled. Market's down 50 now. Wow, now they're back on the lows. Wow, that's crazy. Look at this thing. It's crazy. Let's try. Let's just do 490. I kind of want to get filled because it's moving closer to my strikes. All right, so filled for 485. So beautiful. All right, so there we go. Hopefully that made sense. Hopefully the analysis made a little bit of sense. And you got a little something from it. Gave you a couple of ideas for Amazon tonight. So again, you should do the opposite of that. So I don't know if that's buying the strangle. Maybe buying the strangle would be the best move that you could make. Even though we don't buy premium inside of the Tasty Universe, if there's ever a time to do it, to fade me, man, this could be your time. So let's go ahead. Let's get into the questions. Let's see what you guys got for me today, man. I appreciate you guys so much. Appreciate you guys so very much. Let's see. Paul's in the house. Says, good afternoon to all. What's going on there, Paul? I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for always being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And of course, as I always say, if I can ever help you in any way, just let me know. It is my pleasure to do that. So Dave S. Oh, sell the premium. Said my question has disappeared a couple of times, like it was deleted. Man, I really hope we're not deleting sell the premium's questions. He's not a Yankees fan, is he? That would explain it there, sell the premium. If you've been hanging with Harold, then that would 100% explain it. But let me see. Sell the premium. Let me scan down. Resending my question because it disappeared. Do you think the AI rally is overblown? Ah. And that we will see a meltdown. Great question. So a couple of thoughts on this. I don't know that the so I think that AI, it already is, and it's going to completely revolutionize what work looks like in the modern age. Like in the coming, you know, months, quarters, years, decades. I mean, like when I think about my kids, I mean, I have three kids. I have Penelope, who's 9. We have Eli, Elijah, who's 7. And then, of course, Amelia May, the assistant, the intern. She just turned 4. Like, when Amelia's 25? Like, I can't even think about that to begin with. You know, as any parent knows exactly what I'm saying, especially parents of small children. It's like, I can't even, like, envision that. But it's going to happen, of course. And so, when it does happen, I think AI is going to be just a regular part of her workday. I think, like, AI is going to be just, like, so normal for her. Like, it's absolutely going to be a regular part of what she does. I also think that some form of crypto/digital currency, she'll use it every single day. She'll use it every single day in some form, in some fashion, and that will just be so normal. And I will tell her stories. Be like, yes, we didn't have robots that did everything for us. She's like, really? That's crazy. Like, you mean you did everything yourself? That's unbelievable. Like, it's going to be so shocking to her. And so I do think that it is absolutely going to revolutionize the way that we do things. Now, that doesn't necessarily correspond to having like a great stock market performance. In the long term, it does. But in the short term, I think it could be quite chumpy. I think it could be quite, I said chumpy, but I meant bumpy and choppy. So bumpy, choppy, chumpy, whichever way you want to slice it. I think it could be a little sneaky going from A to B. I think just generally speaking, the rally in the market over the course of the last, I don't know, 15 to 16 months, let alone the last 11, 12 years. But I'm really talking like, you know, after the COVID rebound that was so unbelievably strong. 2023, like after 2022, obviously was pretty bumpy, choppy, and even chumpy. 2023 was unbelievably strong. It was too strong in my opinion, which I mean, that doesn't mean anything because it's never too strong. I mean, my interpretation means almost less than nothing. But 2023 was very, very strong, surprisingly strong. This year has, you know, started off kind of the same way. Now it's gotten a little chumpy. Like now we got some bumps, we got some chops, we got some chumps, right? And so it's like, man, you know, like how does that work in an AI world? The reason why I'm bringing all that up, sell the premium, is a great question, is I think, I mean, the NASDAQ, which is where, that's where your NVIDIAs are, it's where your Teslas are, which apparently is an AI company now. It's where your Apples are, which we're going to hear about them on Thursday. Maybe they've kind of, you know, woven in some AI into the Apple Vision Pro goggles to get their first sale. That would probably be a pretty good idea. And so when you think about those, they're the heavy hitters inside of the NASDAQ. Like they're the main drivers. This is, you know, your Mag 7 or whatever, right? And so I still think that it's going to continue to be quite bumpy moving forward. And so I don't know if that means it's going to be like a meltdown. I mean, I know some people are calling for like 1929 type of, you know, crashes and depressions and things like that. I don't really necessarily see that on my radar. You know, would it totally surprise me? Probably not. I think that's a very, very low probability event. I really do. And so I don't know if a meltdown is coming. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I wouldn't necessarily put my stock in a meltdown. But I could see, you know, just to give you some numbers here. I mean, I could see you've got the NASDAQ right now at 17.7, right? I mean, I could see the NASDAQ. I mean, I could certainly see the NASDAQ back at, you know, 15-5, 15-3, something like that. Like, that would not surprise me this year, like in, you know, potentially the next, you know, quarter or two, like going summer, fall. I could see 15-3. I could absolutely see that. You know, you go to NVIDIA. Some people say NVIDIA, but they're wrong. Even the CEO of the company doesn't even know how to say his own company's name. So NVIDIA at 870, I mean, I could see it at 700. I could see 675. Like, I really could. And I just think that's healthy. I don't think that's a meltdown. I just think that the rally has just been so overblown and it's getting so frothy. It's getting so frothy. It's like, man, like, I ordered a latte and all I got is froth. That's all we got now. Like, there's no espresso. There's barely any milk. It's just straight froth. Like, that's what we're looking at right now in the market, just kind of writ large. And so those are my thoughts when it comes to your question around AI. Hopefully that helps a little bit. So B. Barlson's in the house. Says, Dr. J, what's going on there, B. Barlson? I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for being here so much. I really, really appreciate you. Jeff Thompson, hey, Dr. Jim, Amazon, maybe a broken wing butterfly on the call side. Yeah, so I went strangle, right? Just keeping it buttoned up today, keeping it kind of straight-laced. And so broken wing butterfly on the call side, you know, I don't think that's a terrible move. I mean, maybe you would go in. Let me just kind of, I want to try to get to some more questions. And we took a long time going through the SPX trade. So I'm going to move through this kind of quickly, but you could go into like, you know, you could go into like June. You could maybe do, you know, I don't know, maybe you buy like buy a 180, sell a 185, and then buy like a 195. You kind of skip over that 190 strike. You know, you're getting $1.19 credit for that. And you're going to have a little bit of, you know, you've got a little bit of negative delta there. You know, one of your best case scenario would be if you pin the short strike, right, Jeff? But usually on trades like this, you would kind of follow the delta of the strategy and want the stock to go lower. And then you just pick up this credit that you've collected. But you do have that bit of that buffer and that protection built in that if the stock does rally, you know, and it happens to pin the short strike, then you're going to be in an okay spot. The tricky part is, similar to what I was talking about with the expected move butterfly, you've got to pin the short strike at expiration. So if you pin the short strike tomorrow, like, that's going to be a loss. Like, that's going to be potentially a significant loss because there'll be a lot of extrinsic value in there. So I don't hate the trade. Like, I think this could be a fine trade if you want to, you know, kind of play it, you know, play it to the downside. But I want to keep it a wee bit more neutral. And so let's see. Brandon 8 says, cheers, Trader Junkies. And Jesse Seymour is in the house. What's going on there, Jesse Seymour? Good afternoon to everyone. Good afternoon to you, my friend. I appreciate you. And so Harold, what's going on, Harold? What do you give your wife for Mother's Day? Man, I don't even know when Mother's Day is coming up. I mean, I'm probably just going to go with the tried and true, right? The tried, true, and tested is just some Publix flowers. You go Publix flowers, you're maybe out $15, maybe 12 if it's on sale, right? We're talking just a straight up kind of pre-packaged bouquet from Publix. And that should buy me a little bit of time. Like, that should buy me a little bit of, you know, I don't know, some kind of credit in the old, you know, wife, husband, spouse bank. So that's probably what I'm going to go with. And then, well, yeah, we'll probably just keep it that way. So if you have a Publix near you though, Harold, which I don't know if they have Publix in New York, if they don't, they should. That's what I would absolutely do. And so Paul Heyman, what's going on there, Paul? Following up on Tom's comments on your PhD thesis yesterday. Yes. Yesterday morning, I had a segment with Tom and Tony on the skinny on options abstract applications where I went through my educational crescendo, which I've brought up a couple of times over the 8.5 years I've been on the network. And so we talked about my dissertation yesterday and why it might help explain part of the reason why we see higher velocity moves to the downside than we do on the upside. So if you didn't see that show, go back and check it out in the archives. It's already there. You can check it out right away. You can check it as soon as this, you know, as soon as this show is over, engineering the trade is over, trading charts is over, and then last call is over. Like, you can check it out. And then Amazon earnings are over. And then the price of truth is over. So at like 8:30 tonight, when there's no live programming happening, you can check that out. It's in the archives. And so Paul Heyman says, Tom's PhD thesis would be one page. Tom would state his belief followed by one word, obviously. Yes, that's correct. It would just say Tom's belief. And then it would just say, obviously. And then it would just say, it's over, Johnny. Like, that's it. It's over. Right. And so, yes, Tom's, I would love to read Tom's PhD thesis. That would be very, very funny. And so, yes, I'll sell the premium. It looks like he has figured out the issues with the question. So that's good. I'm glad I got you a question there. I'll sell the premium. So Don721, hey, Dr. J, what are your thoughts on having broken wing butterflies, call or put, as a core portfolio strategy? And how would you manage it if it goes wrong? Hit me with all the gotchas, man. I'm going to do my best. Okay, so let's go back to this Amazon trade just because I already had it up. And so, you know, it's interesting. Let me answer before we get into the weeds on the specific strategy and kind of highlight maybe some gotchas and some gimmies that I might be able to spot and kind of help you out with. As a core portfolio strategy, that's pretty innovative. I haven't seen that too often. I've seen that a couple places. I know Tano, long time tasty trader, good friend of the network, good friend of mine, like really great guy. I think he mostly does broken wing butterflies, and he's very, very successful doing that. And so he would actually be a better person to ask about this than myself. But just thinking about it, it's a very interesting way to structure a core portfolio. Normally what I see is some type of directional bias, whether it be long, whether it be short, whatever. Or I might see just short premium, like just some level of theta, just some level of extrinsic. And that's kind of the core. And then you trade around that, right? I haven't really, other than Tano, I haven't really seen too many broken wing butterflies as the core. What's really appealing about this is the fact that broken wing butterflies can be omnidirectional. Like you can make money both directions. So that's really, really appealing. Similar to like a strangle, right? Like a strangle is like, man, the stock can go up, the stock can go down. As long as it just kind of stays within a range, I'm totally good. And I'm going to be in line for that extrinsic value, the theta, and all the things that we're trying to do. Broken wing butterfly is sort of similar because you know, again, let me set up the Amazon one again so we have something to work with. If I buy a 180 and sell a 185 and then buy a 195, and again, I'm just picking this as an example to answer your question there, Don. If the stock or the index, whatever you're using, goes down, then you're going to be in line to, you know, collect this credit. So you probably manage it at some percentage of that credit. If, however, the stock goes up, then you could still get out with a winning trade if the stock gets to 185 and there's not a lot of time left. And so honestly, and I'm going to kind of, but again, this is very unofficial, right? This is just a conversation between friends. We're going to go off of the Tasty Mechanics reservation a little bit here. Right? So don't quote me on any of this, right? The next few minutes never happened. If I was going to do this as a core strategy, the one thing that I would probably want to do and structure it so that I can do this is I would want to be ready and willing and able to hold these trades closer to expiration if the market or stock goes against me. So in this case, right, Amazon, right, AMZN, if Amazon starts to rally, right, I want to be able to tap into all the benefits that sit around that short strike that are close to expiration. Well, if I'm managing at 21 days to go, I'm never going to get close enough. I'm just never going to get close enough, which is totally fine if you're using ratio spreads and brokering butterflies for a different purpose. But I think if you're building your whole portfolio around these, which again, it's a very innovative idea. I have to really unpack this in more detail and let it kind of simmer on the back burner for a lengthier period of time. But I would probably choose shorter dated cycles, honestly. I'd probably choose like cycles like 28 days to go, 21 days to go. That's right. Getting into the trade at 21 days to go. Don't tell Tom I said that. And don't tell Tom where you heard that. But I'd probably mix up some things like that. Maybe ladder some expiration. So I've got some things that are like really close. I don't know, 10 or 14 days. I don't know. Again, just an unofficial conversation between friends. Maybe 21 days. I don't know. That's kind of how I would think about that. So that, you know, I'm kind of well positioned to take advantage of both sides of the market. And so obviously the gotcha there is, you know, you don't have as much time to kind of course correct if things go really wrong. The gamma risk is not really a big of an issue because it's a defined risk strategy. And so that's why I think it could be worthwhile to consider. So hopefully that helps a little bit there, Don. But yeah, hopefully that gives you some things to think about. So let me try to get to a couple more really quick. And that went so fast. It's like over, man. I can't believe it. So Manny TP says, Dr. J, what are the key considerations for rolling up and out of the money covered call as the underlying moves up in terms of timing, delta volatility, et cetera? Intent is to capture higher profit on the underlying. Thanks. And this is an amazing question. And it's going to be very difficult for me to unpack this fully in the next 45 seconds. But let me give you a couple of things to think about. So the first thing you need to figure out, again, I say this all the time. I get a covered call question because I think it's the most important question you need to ask yourself. And then, of course, you know, answer. What is this trade? What is this position? Is it an investment that you plan to hold for a really, really long time? Or is it just a trade that's kind of in a 45 and out at 21? If it's in a 45 and out at 21, then you're in a 45, you're out at 21. If the stock rallies, you just get out. You're not rolling up. You're not rolling out. You're not staying in the trade. You try to maximize profit potential on the way up. You're just out. It's just over. It's just done with. So I'm going to answer your question. I only have like 40 seconds left. underneath the guise of it being more of an investment. So I think if the stock starts to rally, one thing you need to remember is that if you roll out in time at the same strike, you're always going to be able to pick up extrinsic value for doing that. But if the stock goes beyond your short strike, then you're missing out on any gains beyond that short strike. And so if the stock rallies such that you're deep in the money, like deep in the money, then you're kind of at a, you know, you're behind the eight ball a little bit because you can roll out in time and pick up extrinsic value. But a better move might be to slowly, you don't have to do it all at once, but slowly ratchet up that strike a little bit, right? Slowly move up that strike. Take some of the extrinsic that you're picking up for adding time and start to ratchet up the strike with that extrinsic value. So that's the first thing that I would think about. Again, I'm out of time. I can't go into more. But come back tomorrow, Manny TP. If you remind me, I'll give you a few more things to think about. But I think that's a pretty decent start. All right, guys. I got to run. I appreciate you guys. Good luck tonight with Amazon. And if I can help you guys in any way, please email me. I am jschultz@tastylive.com. Or we can connect. We can connect on Twitter. I am @jschultzf3. I would love to hear from you guys over there as well. But stay tuned. We do have Jamal come up next with Engineering the Trade. In the meantime, guys, trade them small, train them heavy, and stay generous. See you guys tomorrow.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.